All right, welcome back, Coast to Coast AM. Now, we're opening up the phone lines, and I do want to hear from you. What were your favorite hoaxes of all time? When did you get fooled? Did you get fooled today? Did you pull something on somebody? Maybe pull it and get caught. All right, so let's light up the phones. Our guest tonight, Alex Bowes. Why? It's April 1st. Well, now it's April 2nd, April Fool's Day, sort of. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, taking your phone calls with Alex next. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. I am your host, Jimmy Church. Now, right before the break, our guest tonight is Alex Bowes of the museumofhoaxes.com. And you can go and visit there. Just click on the links over at Coast to Coast. Takes you straight there. But earlier this week, Alex, on my radio program, Fade to Black, that I do when I'm not hosting Coast, is... I do facts, right? I do these facts. I do these crazy facts. And this was one of them, the left-handed whopper. Now, I presented the facts of it, right? And I vet everything. And, of course, this actually happened. But I got so much email from people after that going, you know, I can't believe anybody fell for this. But they did. What was the left-handed whopper hoax?
This was announced by Burger King back in the 1990s, and they said, you know, in consideration of all their left-handed customers, they were going to come out with a Whopper with all the condiments rotated 360 degrees so that, you know, it's better for left-handed customers. And, you know, tons of people were like, great. So they come out, flood the Burger King stores wanting their left-handed Whopper. Though, of course, some right-handed people are like, well, what about us? We want our right-handed Whopper.
Right, right.
Yeah, so,
and they lined up, by the thousands the next day demanding their left-handed Whopper. And I think that part of it is, you know, that the 32 million left-handed Americans, right, were finally getting represented.
Exactly.
But they fell for it. And then the right-handed people wanted to order right-handed Whoppers.
Yeah. Yeah. And, this is, of course, it's an April Fool's Day joke, but the left-handed product is one of the kind of classic April Fool's Day jokes. It's one of the classic April Fool's Day jokes, this left-handed Whopper, because, again, it was something where people weren't expecting it, so a lot of people fell for it. But the left-handed joke is one of the oldest jokes in April Fool's Day, so they get credit for being, managing to fool people, even though for like an April Fool's Day purist, it's like, yeah, that's an old joke. Why did so many people fall for that? Because there's like this long history of people coming out with like left-handed candy bars, left-handed golf balls, left-handed laptops, left-handed cell phone, you name it. Some company has come out with a left-handed product, but for some reason, the left-handed Whopper just like perfectly struck a chord with people and actually managed to fool people, which is what made it perfect.
A left-handed cell phone.
Yeah.
Well, that actually makes sense to me, but for a lot of different reasons. Well, if you think about it, the right-handed cell phone, the controls for your thumb, right?
Yeah,
on the side.
Yeah, that could make sense.
So you would, if you had a left-handed version of it and put the buttons on the left-hand side for the thumb,
right?
It doesn't seem that outrageous, but then again, that's why you would buy into it. It makes sense to me.
Right.
I almost buy the left-handed Whopper if you think about it. Gabriel just tweeted. He says that one of his favorites was that yawns are the way brains cool themselves. Now, wait a minute here. I thought that that was a medical fact. So is this real or not?
You know, I'm with you. I'm thinking, is that a hoax? Really?
All right. Let me know on Twitter. We're taking phone calls too, as well. Maybe
isn't that true?
Okay. Fair enough. I don't feel that bad here. Well, what about one of and this came in from Haunted by Cheese. And by the way, follow me on Twitter at J Church Radio. You can just post right there, and I'll get your Twitter stuff. But what about in the 70s? the rumors about if you wear tight jeans that people were dying from that. Do you remember those rumors?
You know, I don't. 70s are, yeah, I was like a kid in the 70s. They were dying from tight jeans.
Yeah, I'm watching.
It was constricting their blood flow to their, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm watching. I'm watching Donna laugh behind the glass, which indicates to me that her parents wouldn't let her wear tight jeans because they thought it would shorten her lifespan. But, you know, these rumors get started. They just do. And it's not, this isn't a modern thing. And that's what I want to drive home here. Some of these hoaxes are 2010, 2015. These are new, 1990s. But then we have one of my favorite. There's two that I consider my favorites. One is the famous dissolving bathing suit hoax of 1930. Now, today it's not that far-fetched, right? We could almost go there. But this was a hoax from 1930. What happened?
It's different moral standards back then, so people are going to be maybe a little more shocked by different things. But it's one of these odd stories that got started in the media of supposedly this kind of prankster had developed a bathing suit made of a fabric that as soon as it got wet, it was going to dissolve. So he gave a party, and he provided the suits for all his female guests, and the moment, of course, they got into the swimming pool, the suits dissolved, and there they all were naked. And this was very shocking to people in the 1930s. Of course, it wasn't true at all, but it's one of these stories that just got into the kind of media cycle, and it started getting reported again and again and again. You know, we talk about fake news today, but it's not a new phenomenon, because this story was just repeatedly reported as a real fact back in the 19th, and I think for decades it just kept popping up, this weird story about dissolving bathing suits. So, you know.
Yeah, like I said, today's technology, we wouldn't have a problem believing something like that. You ready for some phone calls?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, let's go with, let's start here. Let's go to the first-time caller, Jana, West Coast, way up in Seattle. Jana, welcome to Coast. You're first up tonight.
Hi, thank you. I only had one when I called, but now I have two. You know George Takei from Mr. Sulu from Star Trek?
Of course, yes. George Takei, yes.
He tweeted a while back that he was running for Congress. And a few hours later, he put a sign in front of him and said, gotcha.
Yeah, celebrities have the most fun with that today, it seems.
And the other one was the fashion statement with the clothing.
And what was that?
When I was 12 years old, I got sent to Santa Barbara, California, to visit my grandma for my birthday present, and I decided to take a walk. And mind you, now I'm 60, but when I was walking down the street at 12, and I used to go to downtown Seattle all the time, three old ladies with the way kinky hair, you know, when it's too fry perm. If one had her hair dyed pink, the other blue, the other yellow. They each had a matching poodle, pink, blue, and yellow.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, where was your camera, Jana? That would have been an amazing photograph.
It would have been. I just tried to be kind of adult about it and just smiled and nodded and kept on my way. And at 12 years old, I thought that was pretty impressive in itself.
Jana, let me ask you really quick, and thank you for the phone call, but I want to ask you, has April Fool's turned into one of your favorite days of the year, and do you get taken in by it? Do you enjoy it?
I don't get taken in so much because I'm usually the one, well, I guess I am. If I'm the one giving the jokes, I'm not so likely the one they're going to be giving to because they're looking out for what I'm trying to give them.
Right.
So, yes, it is fun, and it's fun to watch other people get got.
Yep, get sucked into it. Thank you so much, Jana. Have a great rest of your April Fool's evening. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Great phone call. All right, let's go to, let's see how much time, yeah, we do. All right, so let's go out east. We're going to go to Dave in Burlington, Vermont. Dave, you're up next on Coast.
How are you doing, Jimmy?
I'm doing good, Dave. How are you tonight?
Hey, great. Listen, button your seatbelt.
I am.
We're going for a ride.
Okay.
Do what, true or false? There's two items here.
Oh, you're going to play me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
True or false? Do windows cry?
Do windows cry? True or false? Oh, wait a minute. I got to get Alex in on this, too, as well. Alex, do windows cry, true or false?
I feel like it's a trick question.
Yep.
But, not that I know of, so false.
I'm going true.
Okay, Jimmy, you win the prize.
Ah, so you got Alex.
Yeah. what it does is glass is not a solid. It's a liquid. And that's why occasionally you go by an old house, you'll see a teardrop in the paint.
I've always wondered about that. Alex, I know you've seen that.
Yeah, but I wouldn't, I didn't know they cried, so... Yeah, you definitely got me.
Yeah, got that. You know, Alex, I just went opposite of you. I just played the odds. Okay.
Well, all right. One more.
Okay, go ahead, Dave.
Okay. Back in the 80s, this is a true story. In Baltimore, this is a hot, humid summer and a lot of pollution. And ladies' stockings were dissolving into midair, and it was because of the pollution and the humidity.
Alex, are you buying into this?
This is a version of the dissolving bathing suit.
Yes.
Story. Yeah. So no, that's an urban legend.
No, but this is true because of the humidity, the pollution, it just everything came together at once.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You see, and Dave, okay, right. You believe this to be true. It does totally sounds like a version of the bathing suit story, but possibly, like we were talking about earlier, Alex, today you just don't know, right? It's like the double paradox hoax flip-flop 180 degree, and here we are. Dave, thank you for that, man. Yeah. Two excellent points. Thank you so much.
Yeah, bye.
You know, you got to love the Coast audience, Alex, for just that reason right there. Okay, we got enough time for one more call before the break. So let's go back out west. Oh, actually, back to Seattle. Barbara, you're up next on Coast. Say hi to Alex.
Hi, Alex.
Hi, Barbara.
Yeah, I'm Barbara. I'm the oldest in the family. I'm a direct descendant of Joseph Davis, elder brother of Jefferson Davis, president of the Confederacy. So I take a deep interest in politics. And the World Bank is on the edge again, and that's no joke. And Bank of America, J.P. Morgan's bank, is collecting all the silver he can and keeping the price low. He has enough money right now to pay off the national debt, but he's keeping the price low because he plans to let it explode as soon as he can and have enough money to buy off the world. The only thing stopping him is President Trump. President Trump has the power of eminent domain. He can stop this by declaring the Bank of America and all its property his or ours, our country's. And he will then pay off all the national debt. He'll let the price explode, pay off all the national debt, and also all the student loans and all the other debts. He will become the king of the world through popular demand.
So let me ask you this, Barbara. It's April Fool's Day. So are you playing us right now?
Could be.
Yeah, there you go, Barbara. I was buying into it there for a second, weren't you, Alex?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I got to tell you right now, I'm looking at Juan and Mike and Donna. Jaws are open. They're like, man, this makes sense. It could happen.
It's all true, except the part where President Trump is.
Hey, Barbara. Excellent phone call. You got us, and have a great rest of your April Fool's Day. Thank you so much. She had me.
Oh yeah, had me.
Had me. That was pretty good. And you know, she had to drop the Jefferson Davis connection to add the legit side to what she was about to say.
Yeah.
Excellent delivery. Barbara, I wish I could give out a prize right now because that was actually pretty well done. All right, we got enough time. Let's see if we can squeeze one more in. Okay, Greg, quickly before we hit a break, say hi to Alex.
Hey, Alex. Hey, great. Hey, I'll try and do this as fast as possible. This goes back to the early 70s in the heat of the Vietnam War. Our fraternity, we had a guy who had a really high draft number, like 360.
Uh-huh.
And he was always bragging about how he was safe. Well, he was out. A letter came in from the Selective Service. We steamed it open, and it was, you know, standard boilerplate, yada, yada, here's your number.
Right.
We replaced it with another one, and basically what it says is, due to the fact that so many people were having birthdays and were required by government to have the day off from the Army, they had substituted an additional random draft, and congratulations, he was now to report. We had a Marine put in a bunch of military-type style, you know, the slashes and all that.
Right.
We sealed it perfectly. The guy comes back to the fraternity house, opens it up, sits down, starts reading, and just starts screaming and cursing, and they can't do this to me.
And this was in college.
What's going on?
Right.
Yeah, this is in college. Right. And we go, well, what happens is they're drafting me. We go, Kansas. Well, I'm going to go talk to him. He takes it down to the draft board. They don't know anything about these rules or regulations, but they're saying, well, these numbers look right. We're going to have to investigate this. And he was on for a day and a half. He was just beside himself.
Okay, who broke the news to him, Greg?
We never did, but the fact that he came back and people were rolling on the floor laughing, he got suspicious.
Oh, you're no fun on April Fool's Day. Remind me not to go to Lawrence, Kansas and hang out with Greg.
Well, this was Idaho.
Okay.
Have a great weekend.
You too, Greg. Thank you so much for that. That, you know, and the funny thing that I find about all of this is you go and you play a joke like that. Well, you know, you need to, how do I want to say this, try to play the safe side of it. Because now we're talking about the draft and the emotions are high in the country and you're in college, so you're supposed to be safe. And you go and you pull that prank. What if that goes south, right? What if he quits college? What if he left the country? What if he bought a plane ticket? What if he went to Ecuador? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to be careful with these pranks because if people believe them, yeah, like what if the guy has a heart attack or...
I didn't want to go that far, yeah, but that's exactly what I'm talking about.
You know, I have some examples of the worst April Fool's Days.
Well, ever. We'll do that. We'll do that right after the break. We got to take a break right here. Our guest tonight, Alex Bowes, the Museum of Hoaxes. April Fool's Day, everybody. I'm your host, Amy Church. I'll be right back. All right, so check this out. I'm going to retweet this right now. I got a tweet from Donald Trump, real Donald Trump. It's right here. And now I know it's April Fool's, but it's also 12:30 in LA. It's past April. So I don't know. It looks legit. So I'm going to retweet this now. If you want to see this, go and follow me at @JChurchRadio. And in 30 seconds during the break, I'll get this tweeted out. You tell me. All right. Authorities right now. It's April Fool's, so just go with me on this. Authorities in Massachusetts are warning drivers to be mindful of a paranormal creature lurking in the area. This past Saturday morning, the Freetown Police Department notified area residents that they had to have posted new signage cautioning motorists that they may encounter a small troll-like entity known as the Puck Wudgie. That's right. The beings have long been linked to the Freetown State Forest, which sits right in the heart of the infamous paranormal hotspot known as the Bridgewater Triangle. For real. Check out the story right now at coasttocoastam.com. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight, Alex Bowes, the Museum of Hoaxes. It's April 1st, April Fool's Day. Phone lines are jammed up. Your phone calls and Alex are next. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Yeah, April Fool's Day. Having some fun, but I don't know about the real Donald Trump tweet that just came in. You want to check it out? I just retweeted it. Just follow us at J Church Radio. And I've got some great questions and stuff here, and I'll get to all of it. I haven't seen the phones jammed up quite like this in a while. So we got to do some preventive measures right now and get to some of these phone calls. So let's go to Wild Card. Alex, say hi to Matt in Florida. You're up next, Matt, on Coast to Coast.
Hi, Alex. Hi, Jimmy. This is Mate from Florida. How are you doing?
How are you doing, Mate?
Hey, Matt.
Good. Hi. I have a quick story for you guys from the 80s.
Bring it.
Yes. So Freddie Mercury from Queen, okay? He did a concert in Budapest, Hungary. I think it was 80-something, and he went on a boat trip on the River Danube, like he was sightseeing, and then he noticed this beautiful building, which was happened to be the National Parliament of Budapest. And then he saw it and says, "Oh, I want to buy that big building." And he started to ask questions like, "How many rooms it has? Does it have maids? And you know, how big is that square footage and stuff?" And he was really serious, and he told the guides, you know, the tourist guides, like, "I really want to buy that building." So what do you think? It's real, fake?
Whoa. Yeah, Alex?
I would go with fake, because...
I'm going real.
Real? Okay.
I'm going real. Mate.
Okay. Can I say who's the winner?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, it's Jimmy is right.
Yeah. Hey, Alex, if you want me to come write for Museum of Hoaxes, just let me know.
Right.
That's, you know, it's too fantastical. See, that's the thing. And Mate, you the man. That was absolutely brilliant. For you to stump Alex, there you go. Thank you so much, Mate. Have a great rest of your night.
Good night. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
All right.
You gotta love the Coast audience, man. Let's keep this going. I'm kind of digging it. Let's go with Quinn up in Idaho. Quinn, you're up next on Coast.
Well, here I am, and I want to tell you what happened to Mom. This was in Comanche, Texas, back in the 30s, and my mom was the drum majorette. She was the most popular girl in school, and Mom was really beautiful, no kidding. Her dad bought her the coolest bathing suit. It was rubberized, a new thing in the 30s.
Right.
She went down a hot slide. I swear this is true. Her bathing suit melted. She hit the water without a suit.
Now, okay, okay.
Legend in Comanche, Texas.
Okay. Legend. Quinn,
yes.
are you there? Let me tell you something. That is a great story. And now, Alex, I'm going to throw this to you first. True or false? Is that real?
I have a bad batting record here so far, but I'm going to say, based on the dissolving bathing suit story we were talking about, I would say that's going to be false.
You're going to say false. Now, I'm going to go. Now, Quinn, when anybody says to me when they're you know, telling us a great story like this, when they say, "I swear this is true," that's where I back off a little bit. So I don't know. Right now, I'm kind of feeling like this story might be true. So where are we at with this, Quinn?
True.
Ah.
My mom, Birdie Joe, hit the water without a suit.
There you go.
Wow.
Alex, I'm batting 1,000, man. I think I'm 4-0.
Yeah, I'm not doing well here.
Quinn, thank you for that, and have a great right. Is April Fool's one of your favorite days of the year?
Oh, I've not been kissing the Barney.
There you go. Thank you so much, Quinn, and enjoy the rest of your April Fool's.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. What's up, Alex?
Yeah, I'm not getting any of these.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go to Wisconsin, West Bend. Scott, Wild Card, you're up next on Coast. Say hi to Alex.
Hey, Alex, how you doing this evening?
Hey, how you doing?
All right. You know, when you listen to AM radio at night, you can hear further, and when you have a high sunspot cycle, communications gets bad. It even interferes with satellite TV.
Mm-hmm.
So what had happened was there was an article about a senior scientist, Boris Chernoff, and he had designed a large antenna. It was a picture of it that was about three stories high and about a half a mile long. And it would generate and suck up all the RF energy that's in the airwaves, and he used it to power a small town in the Soviet Union in remote Siberia, and Boris Chernoff even won a top Soviet award from the Soviet Academy of Sciences.
Okay, all right. We need to, oh, man, that's a tough one. I don't know where to go with this. Scott, I am going to go, I'm going true. I'm going true. Alex, where are you at? You going to bat with me?
I to say true also because, you know, Tesla did things like that. So maybe, yeah, it could be.
Don't go with the church, man. Don't go with me.
All right.
For all the guys that work there coast to coast and your board operators and your tech engineers that take care of this,
yep.
It is false. There was a thing pulled in the 1980s by a very popular communications magazine. The gentleman took a picture of a Swedish antenna site on an embassy ground that was very large,
right.
Posted an article, and told the story. It was a prank on a large number of ham amateur radio operators that talk long distances at night.
Right.
Not only that, a large number of radio operators, both ham operators and commercial radio operators, shortwave operators, called the Soviet embassy and complained that the radio propagation was so bad. It was due to the sun. It had nothing to do with sucking radio waves out. And the Soviet embassy said they never heard of Boris Chernoff, and they never, ever awarded anybody an award from the Soviet Academy of Sciences for such a device.
Unbelievable, Scott. Thank you so much. Finally, you stumped me, you know, and absolutely great story. Thank you so much for that, my friend.
Bye-bye.
You got it. Alex, you had, right before the break, we were talking about hoaxes gone bad, right?
Yeah.
What's your favorite hoax that went completely wrong before we get back to some phone calls?
Well, you know, favorite is some of them are really awful. So I'm not, you know... Some of the most fascinating, Saddam Hussein, you know, a bad guy. We fought the war against him, but way back in the 90s, we had sanctions against his country. And what I find fascinating is that Hussein thought he was like this great prankster. He loved April Fool's Day. So every April Fool's Day when the sanctions were on, this is true, he would come out with April Fool's Day hoaxes saying, hey, everyone, guess what? The rations, they've been lifted. We're going to give you extra bananas, Pepsi, chocolate, you name it.
Oh, man.
And then all the poor Iraqi citizens, you know, they show up for their rations. It's like, April Fool's, ha ha. And it's just, I find it unbelievable. But, you know, I checked. This was definitely widely reported. So it's one of these things you're like, really?
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
It really is. I just find that, yeah, like you said, unbelievable. But he did it.
You know, and somebody somewhere like him is kicking back going, you know, this is going to be great.
Right.
This is going to be so funny. Let's go to the first time caller line. Mike out in Scranton, Pennsylvania, out east. Welcome to Coast. You're up next.
Oh, hi. Thank you, Jimmy. Now, this is my first time. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it, Mike. What have you got for us?
Okay, so I guess real or fake in here. In World War II, there used to be what was called a traveling roadshow. They would throw up, it was Allied forces. They would throw up inflatable tanks to draw in Nazi artillery fire and use radio transmissions and sound trucks to throw off the movement of them. Do you think that was real or fake?
Ooh, okay. Before I defer this to Alex, and my historian side of me knows that we did have inflatable tanks that we were using right before Normandy. So when the German surveillance aircraft flew over, they would see the fake inflatable tanks and assume that we had more troops. But the audio side, playing audio, the planes would have heard that. So you must be referring to on the European side. I don't know. Okay, so Alex, I've just given you the facts.
Yeah.
What do you think, true or false?
I'm gonna say true because I also know about the inflatable tanks.
Right.
That makes me think this story has to be true.
But the playing of the audio, so they would have had to have been close enough to the Germans to play the audio. See, so half of the story.
Interesting thing. So I think it's true.
I say it's half true. I'm going half true. Am I allowed to say that, Mike? Can I say half true?
Half true, half false. You're half right. it was true.
It was true, wasn't it? Okay, yeah. So they actually had audio that they were playing. So they were close enough to the Germans to throw them off. I've never heard that before. Mike, you are a pillar of knowledge.
Oh, that happened throughout history a few times. The Revolution, the rebels used that to throw off the British. And then not related to sound, but another just really popular military hoax would be, I guess, the Trojan horse. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. I feel like I learned something tonight here on Coast, which is why we do this show, Mike. Thank you so much, my friend.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. And that tweet is great, by the way.
Thank you so much. That's what I'm talking about. I just love the Coast audience. All right. Yeah, we got enough time for a couple of more quick ones here. Let's go out east to Tamara. Tamara Lee in Maine. You're up next on Coast.
Hi.
Hi, Tamara. How are you?
I'm all right. I have a story, and I haven't researched this, but I believe this to be true. This was told to me as true by my dad, who spent a year, I guess, or a semester at Alaska Methodist University when it existed in Alaska, and this was in the 60s. And apparently there had been a salmon company that had gotten in trouble with the government for false advertising claims of some sort, because their process for canning the salmon caused a bleaching effect to occur, and the salmon flesh turned white. So they started advertising it as the salmon that doesn't turn pink in the can, and people would be buying it thinking that it was somehow the better salmon. And it's now they're, of course, dyeing salmon to make it look more pink. But, yeah, the salmon that doesn't turn pink in the can.
Okay. Alex, are you buying this story?
I am. I buy this. I think I've heard it before.
Really?
I think I have.
Really? Yeah. Tamara, I think you're playing with me now.
I'm not. I'm actually not trying to test you. I don't know for sure that this is true. Like I say, I believe it to be true. I'd certainly be open to it being false, but I have no reason to believe that it's false, and I'm not trying to test you.
Well, it is excellent anyway. And Tamara, this is what I want you to do. In the next couple of days, go check out Alex's website, because this will be posted there in the next couple of days. Thank you so much for that. Great call.
Thank you
too, Tamara. I was almost buying into that, Alex.
I think I have heard it before. One of those examples of a marketer turning lemons into lemonade, basically.
Well, what about some of the other hoaxes out there that we hear about, like somebody that is married to the opposite sex that they thought they were married to, or the guy that finds out he's dating, a guy when he's really dating a girl, or vice versa. What about these types of hoaxes?
There's so many types of hoaxes, and these gender switching hoaxes are really kind of fascinating. And I think the one you're referring to, it was a famous jazz player, and what was it? Billy Tipton, was that the name of?
I've just heard these stories over and over the years.
Actually married for 20 years. And when he died, it was revealed that he was actually a woman. And you're thinking, he was, and his wife had no idea. And you're thinking, well, how can this be? But that's what happens.
I'm not going to touch that.
Yeah.
Now and then we have the other hoaxes, the other urban legends about waking up in a bathtub of ice and you're missing your kidney. And then it's a great piece of urban legend. And then you hear later that this is actually happening around the world. Now, you don't know if the actually happening confirmed news stories are indeed fake, or if the original urban legend was based on something that was real.
Often urban legends do have, you know, if you trace them back far enough, there sometimes is like this nugget of truth with them. So you never know, but they get exaggerated, blown up. Fiction starts getting mixed in with the fact there.
Well, let me ask you this before we let you go, and I want to thank you tonight for coming on with us. Just an absolutely fascinating conversation. Is poodle clipping going to be an Olympic sport?
I think the question is, was it an Olympic sport?
Oh.
Was it once an Olympic sport?
Was it because once at...
They had some weird Olympic sports back in the days, especially back in the early years of the Olympics. There was some weird stuff they did. So,
are you confirming with me right now on Coast that poodle clipping, somebody has got a gold medal for this somewhere?
I'm putting it out there as a question. Was poodle clipping once an Olympic sport? Back in around the 1910s or 1920s.
That is fascinating. Alex, thank you so much for coming on the show. How often do you update the website? And if anybody needs to send information to you about hoaxes or information that they have, how can they get a hold of you?
Just go to the site, curator@museumofhoaxes.com is my email. Shoot me an email. The site is basically a hobby, labor of love. I don't update it every day, but I try to stay on top of it. Hopefully if you email me something, I will try to post it.
Alex Bowes, everybody. Thank you so much, Alex. The website is museumofhoaxes.com. Also, hoaxes.org. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More of your phone calls next. Happy April Fool's Day, everybody.